I'm starting off fresh and I feel good. I look good. I smells good. I am good. I'm better than that. I'm calm. And this next call is going to be wonderful. I can just feel it. I'm calm. Good evening.
Fucking genie.
Kiss my ass.
Okay, so we got to sync, right?
Yes.
All right, I got it this time.
Okay.
All right. Close enough.
Good enough.
Okay. Ethan?
Yes.
I'm in a parking lot.
Oh, God. Which parking lot are you in?
Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, someone just pulled out in front of me and they were giving me suspicious looks, so I had to go. I'm driving now.
Oh God. which parking lot are you in?
I'm in the restaurant district of the mall.
Oh, the restaurant district.
That's where all the cars are right now, because I think everywhere else is closed. I gotta find somewhere relatively empty, but still full of cars.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna head up here. Okay.
I can't believe the Wi-Fi is still working here.
Yeah, no, it's really good out here. I'm not actually using the.
Oh, you're just using
the Wi-Fi.
You could just go in the woods somewhere.
That also probably wouldn't. Well, okay. How about like here? Yeah, this is good. This is good. Right next to this big yellow truck. All right.
Cool.
Oh, let's park it here for a bit. Oh, stressful. Hopefully no one can see this microphone.
You should do it driving around. You should just drive around different places.
I could, but I have to hold the mic. I do have the stand with me, but there's nowhere really to put it.
No.
I could put it on the door handle on the door opposite me.
That would just be impractical.
That would be silly.
That would be ridiculous for you to do that. Absolutely, yeah, absurd.
No, I need to be in my car, because if I'm in my house and I'm shouting about anime, and that's not healthy living.
No, so certainly, certainly not.
I'm in this nice warm car.
Don't be
in this mall parking lot on a Monday night,
9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock. Maybe I'll head to Walmart later. Oh crap! Is it his truck? No, I think he's going somewhere else.
I want these things to be increasingly more and more desperate as we continue.
I might end up in the Denny's parking lot. Yeah,
that's the most desperate place of all. Actually,
I've been there.
The only things that happen in the Denny's parking lot are like drug deals and like handoff of child prostitutes,
or both at the same time.
Fair.
Kids are full of drugs.
Oh no.
Yeah. So how you doing?
I'm a little bit sick. Had a very busy weekend.
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah, it was busy.
Oh, because I went and visited you. I drove 6 hours to see you last weekend.
Yes.
And one of your disgusting friends gave me strep throat.
Yes. Only disgusting people get strep throat.
I'm good. Well, it's because everyone's like, "Hey, let me use your vape that you got as a joke. Just let me use it." And I'm just like, "Oh, you got me because I'm drunk. You know, I'm gonna give it to you."
You should have soaked it in rubbing alcohol.
Oh, let me put my streptococci all over your fucking mouth instrument.
Hey, man, I used it all weekend and I was just fine.
That's fucking. And then I was driving back with Steven. And Steven pulls it out of my backpack, and he starts using it. I'm like, dude, I just told you that thing's covered in strep throat. What's the matter with you? And he kept going. He didn't care.
Acid bath. Acid bath's the only way to deal with that. You know what? Just destroy it.
Yeah, I was going to say, just put it in the fucking garbage. That thing is going like, as soon as it gets me sick, like, what is even the point? It's, like, way more than what it's worth.
Send it. I'll buy it off you. Send it to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. So, yeah. But the hot dogs were good.
Oh, yeah, no, the wieners were good.
Wieners were good.
The wieners were, yeah. Lucky Louie's beer and wieners.
So,
Shout out.
So Declan, by the way, three weebs, but there's two of us.
Whatever.
Tentative three weebs. Ethan.
Yeah, then
Declan. I am Ethan.
Yes.
Declan, they said we couldn't do it. They said we couldn't possibly.
I said we
watch
couldn't do
another. They said we couldn't possibly do another 80s OVA or film that nobody cares about.
Which is why we didn't, because we instead watched a 2015 ABC crime drama, Wicked City.
Oh right, right? Yeah. Sorry. Sometimes things get mixed up in my head. Yeah. Wicked City.
It's a good psych out. It's like, hey, we're gonna do the thing we always do, and then swerve, zigzagged on you.
Yeah, no, next week we're going to be doing reviews of contemporary art pieces in the MoMA.
MoMA?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Modern Museum of Art. Museum of Modern Art?
Oh, I think I went to that. Is that in D.C.?
It's cool. No.
Oh, okay. I went to something else. Pretentious.
Maybe it is D.C. I don't know.
That might have been contemporary art that I went to, because it was a lot of bullshit.
Lots of toilets.
I didn't see any toilets.
Anyways, yeah, Wicked City 2015.
2015 ABC crime drama created by Steven Bagelman. Legendary.
Oh, wow. They stopped beating around a bush with these producer names. They just got right into it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Christ. It would be all,
what are you implying, Ethan?
The only way it could be less on the nose or more on the nose is if it was Bagel Jew.
Bagel Jewberg.
Christ.
Stars Jeremy Sisto, Thaisa Farmiga, and our friend Gabriel Luna, who we know from... the show only made it 8 episodes before being canceled.
But damn,
which I,
what an 8 episodes they were.
I only watched, you know, the first one, but... hell of a show. The tagline, by the way, if you see the poster on the internet, is in 1982, the Sunset Strip was killer. That is the actual tagline. This show has an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes when Supergirl had like 90. So I was going into this thinking like, there's no way it could be that much worse, right? No way it could be bad.
Yeah.
So obviously from the tagline you can infer it takes place August 1982. 80s, Ethan.
Okay.
80s.
You're speaking my language here.
Do you remember
here?
Billy Idol's Dancing With Myself? Because they're playing it.
Oh, no.
They're playing it
in
the show.
I bet it opens on that.
Oh, it absolutely does.
No way! Oh, my God.
And then there's Hookers, because it's the Sunset Strip. It's wild and crazy. Oh, by the way, also, we're on this guy here. Not our protagonist, but he's a shady man. He enters a club. Do you remember Rats Dr. Rock? Do you remember that? Because they're playing it.
Oh, God.
They're playing it in the show. Do you remember that?
It's like we're actually there.
It's like this is back in there. Yes.
That's the problem with all this 80s philia is that they missed the point.
Did I mention that heavy metal band Rat is here?
Oh.
They're here.
Is two T's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey.
What's the plot?
Well, hold on now, Ethan. Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Approximately when do you think the word bitchin' was invented?
Bitchin'? That's got to be like... That's... for the sake of this television show, I would hope it's before 82, but I'm going to guess 93.
You're going to say about 93. Yeah, well, this show disagrees with you. I'm going to want you to open this sound file here. I brought clips.
Okay.
I'm going to paste them to you in Discord. Just tell me when you play it so I can put it in the final product.
Playing it right now.
He's showing me these like bitchin' apartments he's got for rent.
Yeah.
He's big and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's totally fine too.
Oh my God. He's showing me these bitchin' apartments he's got? Yeah.
Bitchin' apartment.
Wow. I'm offended totally. For Cali girls everywhere.
Don't be. It's fine. So we have this innocent-looking girl, not like these other cocaine-ridden whores, and she can't get backstage to see Rat.
What?
Because she's a journalist. She's a not-whorish journalist for Rolling Stone.
Does she wear, like, warming clothes?
No, she unbuttons her blouse to try to make it back there, but she...
Classic journalism tricks.
She's too nice-looking. But then this dude, the dude we saw earlier, helps her get a drink and... and tells her that he has connections and he can get her to the next level. The sentence, "The Sunset Strip is insane," might be uttered during that interaction. Now, then we see this guy, he goes around, does the same thing to a different woman. He's a swindler. A swindler. Oh, by the way, do you remember Soft Cell's Tainted Love? Because they're playing it. They're playing it. They're playing that song. Remember that song?
Licensing all this music must have cost at least $20. Rat can't be too, fucking too cheap, man.
Oh, and they have like stunt doubles for all the bands, so they're like jumping around the cameras, like out of focus and jump. Oh, it's so good. It's so good, Ethan. So our guy's getting blown by some rando whore he met in his car in a parking lot, because like even though they're fucking 32, like overlooking the city, and he can't get hard. And do you remember Foreigners Feels Like the First Time? Because they're playing it.
Oh,
they are playing
God.
It. And then he kills her.
That's the only thing that you can do to that song is just like...
The thing he does is he calls in a dedicated song on the radio station. Then when it plays, he kills the lady. And then we get a really silly late title card. And then it's procedural time. It's cop time. Our cop, imagine like a skinnier, more strung out Seth Rogen. So fantastic. Really great all around. He's an honest, good, do-good cop, and then he's got this other guy nearby him that he doesn't like, this greased hair, wants attention cop. I got one more clip for you.
Okay. Nobody likes a needy cop.
Because you see, greased cop, yeah, they don't get along. So we get this line. It's just amazing.
To me, this girl is a victim. To you, she's a step up.
Wait, what does that even mean?
She's just a step up, Ethan.
What does that mean? Is he saying that he's just going to use this case for
publicity?
Oh my God!
To get the press on his side. Yeah. By the way, I'm pretty sure even in 1982 they didn't show the cops in charge of serial killer investigations on the news, which they do in this show. I don't think they did that.
Hello, rando cop who is very vulnerable in this moment. If you want this case shut down, you just got to go after this one dude. Who looks like Seth Rogen?
Like camera footage with a really bad filter over it, and then just like this guy's heading up the investigation. I'm just like, no, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. Do you remember Iggy Pop's "Lust for Life"? They're playing.
I danced to that song at my wedding.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. Our murderer, his name is Kent, and he has a kid, or he takes care of a kid. I don't know. Guess what? Our do-good detective has to partner up with that other detective he doesn't like. Can you believe it?
This has a striking amount of similarities to the 80s film, a completely unrelated film of the same name, which we will not be talking about. That's for another time. Wicked City. Striking amount of similarities.
Is that one also called Wicked City?
Oh, you've never heard of it? Yeah, it's kind of obscure.
Weird.
I think it's garbage.
That's a weird coincidence.
Yeah, people only really, when you talk about Wicked City, you're referring to the television show, because come on, like what?
I mean, come on, it's the most recent one, and it's the best. I only got a little bit more here. So, where was I? Okay, so he actually has an "I work alone" line, that's in there.
Cops don't work alone.
And then his boss replies to him with, "This came straight from the chief."
Ooh.
Straight from the chief. That's why you got to work from this guy. It came straight from the
robots
chief.
Are finally writing television. I mean, they do. I knew it was only a matter of time, but damn.
It's, oh boy. Next up in the plot, you remember Joan Jett and the Blackhearts as Crimson and Clover? They're playing it.
Favorite songs of my youth.
So our guy's going to kill again, except he doesn't because he finds out that she has kids. And then later in the episode, he and this other girl that he met, he was going to kill. It turned out they're both fucked up and they become like a serial killer couple.
Cool.
Crazy. And then our detective boy, he lies to the press about capturing the guy, I guess, to make the killer, to take his fame away, to take the attention away, I guess, to make him kill again. I don't know what his plan was there.
Wait, but this
is a weird thing.
This killer has a conscience, as we know.
But this is my favorite part personally. They get a fax from the killer They get a fax, and then they don't track it or anything. They just follow what it says.
Don't be ludicrous. You can't. What information could you possibly get from a fax?
He says, go here. Oh, like a number, maybe? Okay. I don't...
Some sort of number that's connected to a place.
Like a phone number?
Don't be ludicrous. So they go to the place, I would imagine.
They go to this shitty apartment. There's a box there, and they just fucking open it immediately. Immediately.
Safe.
And it's a head. It's
very original. It is very original.
It's a head.
I've never heard of anything like that before in my life.
I couldn't believe it. Then a series of dumb coincidences happen with the girl, and she's a reporter, and she finds the cop, and it doesn't make any sense. And then finally, do you remember Pat Benatar's Heartbreaker? They fucking play that shit. Couldn't, like, 10 out of 10. And then I stopped watching. And I think they end it with Billy Idol, and the killer gets away in this episode, but who knows? The killer's now. Or I guess she hasn't killed
this
yet.
This truly but is a wicked happen. City.
It truly, truly is. And that's going to do it.
All
for
right,
this week's episode.
Three weaves, 318 weaves, 2-2.
I think you gotta carry your weight next time. You didn't have a lot to say about this.
I'm gonna be real. I was making eggs while watching it. It was like, you know, scrambled. You know, it's a little bit more involved. And
oh yeah, no, totally. I feel you. I feel you.
It was like watch Wicked City or throw those dice some onions. You know what I mean? Like
I got you.
Yeah,
all the way.
Sounded great though.
The eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't finish. I burned them. I had to go to the bathroom to vomit because I was just watching Wicked City and it was
too powerful for you.
Stomach churning, truly,
yeah,
truly horrifying stuff. Seeing a head in a
gruesome,
box,
gruesome stuff.
Yeah, on network television.
I couldn't believe it.
What has the world come to?
I mean, it depends on your perspective because they did cancel it. So
I mean, thank God. I mean, when I'm trying to watch back-to-back episodes of King of Queens and then, you know, finish it off with some Kramer, I don't want any Wicked City to come in and fuck shit up.
Some Kramer versus Kramer?
Wasn't there a spinoff that was just Kramer? I don't know.
What?
What?
Wait, I don't know which one of us is fucking crazy. But it's really funny either way. There's no way there was.
No, it doesn't seem there was. Well, let's roll back the clock a bit, and I'm trying to watch 1970s family divorce drama Kramer versus Kramer, and
oh
I'm really
God.
Getting super invested.
That's so fucking watching some Kramer.
I mean, that's why you watch Seinfeld. Come on.
Is Kramer like Garfield minus Garfield, where it's like Kramer busts into a room and no one's there, and he's like, Jerry!
We should make
silence.
That. If Seinfeld without
silence.
Characters didn't exist, we should totally make that.
It's just all a dream in Kramer's autistic mind.
I mean, that would explain so much.
It really would.
Speaking of Garfield and terrible television, I watched...
Mr. Kramer, it's time to take your medicine. The pretzels, Jerry. Jerry.
Then he bursts
Kramer,
through a
you
door.
You feel better when you take your medicine. Jerry. There's no Jerry, Mr. Kramer. There's no Jerry. Slow fade out.
Drops a snow globe. I watched the Garfield show last night. Did you hear the aliens outside my window right now?
Oh, no. You're scaring me. I'm outside alone, remember?
What the fuck is it?
Like illegal aliens?
Oh, I think never mind. I think somebody's watching Arrival downstairs. Anyways.
Oh, okay.
Actual,
how did you know it was an alien invasion just by you listening to it?
It sounded like an alien invasion, and I took my headphones off and like kind of placed where the sound was coming from, and I'm anyways.
If you can tell what it is, if you can tell a concept that abstract from the sound, that's a tell of good sound design.
Absolutely.
You just hear it.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, that's a fat camp. Heavyweights. Shh. They're watching Heavyweights.
I could hear the flop sweat. So the Garfield show.
Of course.
That's not written. I'm convinced that there's no... Because, like, if you wrote the things that happened in that show, and by things, I mean the dialogue that they speak, you would instantly realize that something was wrong and scrap it. But every line of dialogue that comes out of the character... It sounds like... it sounds like a bad fan dub, or like a foreign nation got together and tried to create an American animated television program. The animation's so stiff, and
that's
the
kind of what cartoons were like before, like 1990.
This is 2015.
There's a new Garfield.
Yep, it's a CG.
Oh, you don't know.
Oh, okay. No! Hold on.
Oh, no!
Did you look it up?
Oh!
Did you look it up?
No, I can't look that much up. I mean, I guess I could.
I got you. I'll hit you with a link. I'll send you the images tab on my Google search.
I feel like there's a vague memory that I might have repressed from a couple days ago where I might have seen some kind of screenshot.
You might have seen, like, the thumbnail or something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, 2009, so I guess it makes it still just as
unacceptable. Why is Garfield smiling in all these?
It's still going.
What the fuck?
It's still going.
So many 2015 television shows. They really got adventurous that year.
This was 2009, and it's still going now in 2017.
Oh, okay.
Holy God.
I'm not even a Garfield fan, but I'm just angry that he looks so happy all the time.
Frank Welker, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Garfield deserves better than this.
Garfield deserves a swift death at the very least.
Yes. Frank Welker is trying to do his best Bill Murray impression during this show.
The definitive Garfield.
And he's just blowing it. It's really, really terrible. It just sounds so dopey. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, someone just drove a Lincoln past me and it's freaking me out.
So, yeah, the Garfield show's bad. There's one point where, like, they're trying to... There's a concert going on TV, and John is like, I'm going to watch this music show. And it's just horrible. Whoa. It's just alien speech, basically.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely horrifying. I'm sorry.
I suffered... I probably got 5 minutes into it. All told, it's really quite something. Anyways, I watched. You know when I said that nobody watches the other Wicked City?
Yeah,
I lied. I watched it. I fucked up. Okay, look.
Oh my God.
I said that I was going to watch Wicked City, and I didn't double check which one you wanted. And here we are.
Always making assumptions.
Yeah, I guess I could recap it for you.
Well, okay, if we're going to do this, then let's take a quick break and I'll...
Okay, let's take a quick hour and 20-minute break.
Yeah, I'll just watch it real quick. We'll just zip ahead here.
All right, through the magic of editing.
All right.
Hold on. I got a... Did you pause it?
Pause what?
Oh, okay. Hold on. We're gonna travel through time.
Yes. Well, now I've seen Wicked City.
All right, great.
The old shit. Old and busted.
I'm just kind of deflated, Declan.
Because we lost 30 seconds of content? I tried to be the cool unicycle kid for a few weeks, but it turns out they don't let unicycles in the hallways, so I had to, just go full cum slut.
Yeah. No, I mean, you just made me sit and listen to you watch Wicked City for an hour and 20 minutes, and like... Every time I would get up to use the bathroom, you'd yell at me to sit down. I don't know. I'm just pulling back the curtains for everyone to show this, this horrible, vicious relationship we have. I think that's how the expression goes.
Yeah. I don't know. Want to talk about Wicked City?
Yeah. Speaking of sausage.
Speaking of rape. Background information on this Wicked City, which, whatever, man. Not my Wicked City. Hashtag not my Wicked City. 1987 by Madhouse. Directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, director of one Cyber City 080, Ninja Scroll, and Birdie the Mighty.
Wow.
This is based on Hideyuki Kikuchi's novel of the same name.
Does Birdie the Mighty have really long women who are super angular and also rape?
I think it has, like, at least two of those things. I haven't watched one.
Sweet.
Escalade.
Uh-oh. Dude, really no, slowly. You're going to get caught up in a gang battle.
Yeah, you know what? I should leave here.
You gotta... Dude, there's a football player in the... Okay, your parking lot.
I'm gonna leave this parking spot. I'm gonna go to a different one.
Give me a sec. All right.
all right, I'm just going to go like one parking lot over and put myself in the back of that one. Way in the back. Way back.
Are you going to the movie theater?
No. I'm going in.
Movie theater's a good option.
Movie theater might work, but also...
You know, like the way... Yeah.
There's also a bunch of cars in front of the Von Maurer that don't look like they're going anywhere.
Is this technically enabling?
Enabling what? My fucking autism?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's way past time for that. Like, you're done.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's too late.
I knew I lost you someday.
It's too late to apologize. All right. There we go.
How many years do you think I get for aiding and abetting severe spurgness?
That's not a crime. You're good.
All right, sweet. I'm in the clear. Not today.
Not today.
Not today.
I watched the dub of this movie.
I also watched the dub of this movie.
This is a movie, by the way.
I had a gut feeling.
Oh, yeah, no. You just knew it was going to be sweet and good. And we were right. Well,
so very right.
I don't know. So we start off, and we get this... I like that opening shot of it's a very dark city, almost as if it's Wicked, backdrop by lots of bright, shiny clouds. And I don't know. Were you able to parse that opening monologue by our narrator at all?
No, it was completely incomprehensible. I'm glad you also felt that way.
I had to go back and listen to it a second time because he says, our cities are armed with steel and concrete. Or he says, like, it's a time when our cities are armed with steel and concrete. Like, fucking, what else would they be armed with? What else are you going to build a city out of?
I didn't even bother. I just wrote down that he monologues about society and stuff, which I think is basically a decent
summation. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Computers and technology barricade our minds.
Yeah, topical.
No, we can't pay attention to the demons around us or something. It has nothing to do with the movie. Nothing to do with the movie at all, I don't think.
No, I don't think there's a single computer in it.
He's talking about technology, and then he goes, doesn't change the fact that there are a lot of strange phenomena. What? What is that segue? What is that?
This voice actor is really quite something. He's very... he'll switch between casual and, like, meaningful, if that makes sense.
Maybe, yeah.
Willy-nilly. I don't know. We'll get into it later.
Sounds a little Crispin Freeman-like. I don't think it's him, but who knows. And then he says, there's a world of darkness out there beyond time or space. Like, he's jumping all over the place. And at this point, I looked at the cast, and someone is credited as Spider-Woman, which I was very confused about for a little bit. So the first thing you'll notice about this movie is that it looks damn good.
Yeah. Mm. Style.
Ooh, it looks so good. Madhouse, 87, just...
Lighting. So much lighting.
The lighting.
Different colors and shades and...
Yeah,
all
the city shots look great. Oh, there's mall security. Hey, hi. Oh, he's pulling real slow around that corner. Oh, yeah. No, I gotta go.
Make a break for it, dude.
I'm out.
You gotta go to the movie theater. That's the safest bet.
You think that's safe?
Open till like midnight.
True.
No one will fuck with you if you're way over in the spillover lot.
That's a good idea. And I don't even have to go out on a main street here. I can just pull right over to the okay, here.
That's the one.
I'm doing it.
Do it.
Permanent parking spot.
Believe in your dreams.
Then again, it's also Monday. Oh, my security's they're keeping up with me. They're matching me. They're right beside me. It's like Mad Max.
Jump out of your car. Abandon it.
Okay,
Activate the explosives.
I'm outside my car. Okay, he pulled away in the other direction. Go into the movie theater. This show, it looks...
Oh, God, I dropped my microphone. Okay, we're good.
Okay, are you still recording? Is everything not broken?
I'm good.
All right. I don't watch a lot of synth pop music videos, but I bet this movie has created about a dozen loops. You can put one of those things.
Of cars driving on
there
highways.
There are so many amazing, amazing loops of cars driving and tons of shit.
My mind's
not even just cars, but the cars are great. Oh my God, it's fucking crazy, dude.
My mind jumped to that as well.
Yeah, no, it just looks exactly like that.
Neon, lots of neon signs.
Fucking neon, yeah.
We go, the next scene is in a neon bar.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And then you get like horrible gay porn dialogue between between the Taki, the protagonist, and the bartender there.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how Taki's a ladies' man, and that the bartender made a bet with Taki that he couldn't get with this girl, that girl. Taki did get that girl, and therefore won himself 10,000 yen. And then when she comes out, he's like, "There's my 10,000 yen now."
And that doesn't, like, really, that doesn't really make any sense.
She's like, "What? What are you saying?
What are you talking you about?"
And
you guys talking about something?
And then the bartender whispers in his ear, like, "Oh man, you're such a ladies' man, huh? Fucking hot stuff, right?
Oh, bang that puss good.
Oh, slam that beef.
Give her one pump for me.
Oh.
The bartender.
Hey, man, think about me when you're fucking that girl." Anyways. And then the lady that they made the bet over takes Taki to her spot. And then they start making out in an elevator. And then, for whatever reason, he gets into her place after she does. Like, he enters her room. And then she's already taking her shit off.
Hello?
And then she starts giving him head in the doorway of her room. And he's still got all of his clothing on. And he's really casual about this. He's just like, "This is my kind of lady," or some fucking bullshit. I don't remember. Okay.
So, yeah. So one of my favorite lines, I'm going to send you a clip of, is, she asks him, a little question. Here you go.
I didn't know you were in such a hurry.
I hope you don't mind.
No.
This is an instance of him being like overly casual.
No.
No. Quite the delivery. Yeah. But yeah, she's got her shit out and she's giving him head in the doorway.
And he's become black. Did you notice that his skin color, his ethnicity keeps changing?
Hey, man, good for her, am I right?
At some points in this movie, this dude is the niggest motherfucker. And sometimes he's just regular Japanese man. Like, they do not care about the tones they use.
The only thing that matters is that he's dead sexy the entire time.
Absolutely.
He's chiseled, man. Chiseled.
He's got that, yeah, big square 80s Japanese anime face.
Yeah. He, you know, like Fist of the North Star fucking,
beautiful.
But sexier. So they start boning.
Right.
And then she turns into an insect thing. So you got like, or as you referred to her earlier, as spider. She's a spider lady.
She's Spider Woman.
And then she grows a, is this the part where she grows a, oh no, okay. She tries to eat him with her pussy, which sprouts teeth. And then he jumps back in like an action man kind of like getting his distance kind
of
thing.
Sort
he
of a
makes
not
a very
more,
impressive
not a lot
move.
Of gravity way, yeah.
Yeah. And then the insect lady just fucking bounces. She's just out.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Than,
she for some reason she just decides to leave because that one attempt didn't work very well.
Yeah, she's like, "Well, he's too powerful for me, I guess."
I guess he's naked, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So homie gets over this right quick. He's really back in it.
I guess he's used
fast.
To it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like half the women in the city that he picks up must turn out to be fucking monsters.
Monsters. I mean, that's every city, but...
she is animated very well. She's very creepy. She looks real weird. And also, I measured time to nips, 3:57, so they got it under the 4-minute mark. Pretty proud of you.
I think they were intentionally going for the revolver effect, you know what I mean? But,
Oh, sorry, one more thing. But when she blows him, you get this really slow crotch unzipping shot... And then she says, "He's a healthy one," and she stares at his dick. And then there's a shot of his face looking down at himself getting blown, and he goes, "My God." it's fucking amazing. It's really good delivery.
You know what you're in for pretty quick in this movie.
More like wicked sexy. Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow.
It's like a solid 30 seconds of her moaning.
But you get a lot of moaning in this movie anyways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then we get a late title card. Another late title card. Really happy with fiction today.
So Taki, who is our protagonist, goes to work as a salesman, but it's just a cover for his actual job.
Right.
Which is a super secret security guard The blackguard is what he, where, you know, what his true job is, and then his boss tells him to be more sexually cautious because he's just slaying way too much poon.
He's constantly picking up fucking eldritch abominations at bars.
Yes, horrible nightmare creatures. And he gets his assignment from his boss, which is to protect a high profile figure who's going to be really instrumental in pulling together this peace treaty between the Black World people and humans. Yes. And then Taki explains that, even though we just had it explained to us in the previous scene. It's a little bit redundant. He goes to an airport where he gets confronted by two figures who turn into horrible monster creatures. And then they say, he's like, hey, you can't use that gun on me. And then Taki's like, I got a super big special gun. Because obviously he does, because he needs to kill these things.
Yeah, so these creatures, these other beings, they're from something called the Black World. And there's a line where he says, Black World is a dangerous place, which I thought was very funny. And so, yeah, he goes to the airport to meet his new hot partner. And then all of a sudden, he's doing kung fu with random dudes on the tarmac. We just cut to this. And it looks really cool. It's like really stylized.
It's a great sequence.
It's like red and blue, like blue really and, bright colors. Yeah. It looks crazy. It's rad, but it's just we're in this all of a sudden. It's great. It's
really great sound effects in that scene.
It's really stupid, yeah. And there's like silhouettes of planes flying behind him while he fights. It's amazing. He uses this cool gun to kill the black. I'm just going to call them blacks from now on. That's cool with you?
Oh, God.
That's fine, right?
Wait, hold on. Let me check the year right quick.
So,
we're good.
Yeah, so, you know, he has this gun to defend himself against the blacks, you know, only in self-defense situations, of course. Because if a black, like, sneaks up on you, it's pretty reasonable to use it on them to you know, defend yourself. This movie looks really good, though.
Yes. There's just a line in this scene I really liked. Just the delivery on it was really stilted and awkward, where one of the cronies says, I'm afraid I'm going to have to kill you. and it's just really terrible. I love it.
Yep. One of the things about this movie is that all of the women have that, much like Cyber City Oedo, all the women look really androgynous and they have weird man faces. It's like the way they make them a woman is that they give them a pointy chin and that's it or something.
I've seen so many Cyber City type things to where it's the only thing I'm attracted to anymore are super andro broad shouldered
right.
women.
Yeah.
Just. I can only watch American Gladiator reruns from the 80s to jerk off.
Sad sunken eyes and just terrible everything. So yeah, her name is Makie. His partner, and she's an alien, or whatever. I mean, she's a black, their job is to protect this old. I don't even know what the fuck he is. He's supposed to be a human, but that seems weird because he looks like Yoda. And they're told that he's needed for the treaty, for some reason. But then his supposed plane explodes. And then there's an odd moment of comedy after hundreds of are killed in this plane crash where it turns out he took an earlier plane and he survived. And he's basically Master Roshi. I don't think you've seen Dragon Ball, but he's...
I'm familiar with the character of Master Roshi from Dragon Ball.
He's Master Roshi all the way down to the being a borderline rapist.
A horrible pervert.
He has a very similar voice, and he... So they take him, they're driving him away from the airport, and he's describing to them how good that black pussy is. Another clip for you.
Well, I'll be. I'm finally going to have a taste of a black world girl.
Sounds like my grandpa. He
immediately starts hitting on this girl, and by hitting on, I mean molesting. They go to a fancy hotel, which they have to themselves because they need it for security purposes. They got to lock the place down. And then as soon as he gets in the room, Myart, who is the pervert man, midget pervert, immediately starts reading a porno mag. And his dialogue there is nigh impossible to understand. It's gobbledygook. I just completely... He said probably four lines, and I got maybe four words out of it.
A lot of his stuff is a little hard to... Yeah. He's basically just like, hey, look at these boobies. Hey.
And he's like, ah, you can't... I'm not going to sleep in the same room as a man. You got to go downstairs or go outside. And then he's like, okay. So Makie is forced to stay behind and stay the night with this creepy old molester.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taki smokes a cig and talks to the host of the hotel who he's friends with. And he's they just... Taki... This is when I realized that Taki is just too sexy. Everything he does is hot.
He's playing chess is hot. With his butler.
Smoking cigs is hot.
Oh, yeah. Smoking cigs is always hot.
Yeah, so the building starts shaking. And
then there's a haunted clock, just like Amityville 4. Or was it 5?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's all a wash. It's all nothing but wasted hours to me. Yeah, those are like... Someone took a cigarette to like the tapestry of my mind and burned holes where all the Amityville films are supposed to be.
It just means we got to go through all of them again.
I think so. Pretty sure.
Starting back at one.
So the building starts shaking as black worlders start invading, and Taki's buddy loses an arm, but apparently it's just a prosthetic, so it's cool. And then the black worlder...
I didn't pick up that it was prosthetic.
He says it's like, they got the mechanical arm or whatever.
Oh, weird.
It's all good.
But yeah,
save your lady.
The guy that breaks in through their unbreakable barrier... He takes that arm off by shouting loud.
Yes, and making the room pink.
Yeah.
And he's dressed like a street punk, which is great. So...
Oh, yeah, he's got the sunglasses. He looks really cool. He catches a knife in his mouth.
He actually looks cool, though. Like, that's a cool-looking motherfucker.
Oh, but then his voice comes out, and he's like, hey, it's me.
Yep. And so he starts talking to... He goes up to the room and starts talking to Makie. And calls her a traitor, and then threatens to rape her.
I have a great clip of him. His lines are delivered so matter-of-factly, even though they're so dark, which is what makes it fucking hilarious.
I'm the one on top.
I'm the one on top is... That's a line that was stuck with me. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, but also this one.
Now what? Your body is much more frank. It wants me more and more all the time.
He sounds strangely Southern.
More and more all the time.
He wants me more and more all the time. But see, that I just put a delivery on that. Like, I put some stank on it, but this line's just very blunt and to the point. Jin just starts fingering... Jin is the black ruler. He starts fingering the shit out of her. And then she ensnares him with her hair. And the Taki comes in and blasts him away, saving the day. Yeah, so Jin... Taki kills the black ruler.
Our rape count is at one.
Rape count is at one.
It's only fingering rape, but I'm still going to count that one.
Hey, man, it's an unwanted sexual interaction.
And also, she just stops him very easily by doing this hair thing where she stabs him with the hair. I don't know why she didn't do that at first.
She had to summon up the courage. She was mortified.
I guess so. So yeah, MC uses his cool gun. But then Roshi snuck out. Oh, no.
He goes to a whorehouse.
He goes to a soap land.
And apparently, according to this prostitute, he's banging.
He's super
he has
hung.
A big old peen.
Yeah, and he likes to suck the boobs.
So he fucks that prost.
Yeah.
And then her body melts and starts to consume him.
Oh yeah,
in a nice body horror sequence.
But then they our two cops get there just in time and pull him out of this horror. But his life force has been drained, whatever the fuck that means.
Yes.
So they kill her. And she melts real bad. And then they have to drive to some hospital that's special to fix
them. It's a psychic hospital.
Psychic hospital. And then on their way, there's so much stuff in this, like,
yes.
All the scenes are so short.
We go quite a ways from that bar at the beginning.
There's so many different conflicts. They get stuck in a time tunnel this time.
Right?
And this is when I remind myself to make a sick loop out of every shot in this fucking movie. Because them going through this time tunnel is pretty good.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're only 34 minutes in at this point, by the way. So Maki is going to get out of the car and do something. And like, you know how the cool, like, the Han Solo type will have the line of, like, you know, see you later, or you know, like...
Yeah.
His
see you later.
Or, you know,
cool.
his like, you're leaving line is, you still haven't told me your measurements.
Hey, man, he's a player. Maybe that works.
I mean, if you look like him, it probably works, yeah.
Fair. And, I mean, who does? Am I right?
What?
Am I right?
Yeah.
Who does look like him?
Oh,
am I right?
I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
Not me. That's for sure.
No.
No, sir.
So, yeah, Makie goes out to fight Thing.
Yeah, and then Roshi has a face hugger in him. Oh, yeah, so that's the thing... So yeah, he spits out a little parasite and it grows really, 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 really fast for no real reason.
It becomes a muscle snake.
And this is like 5 minutes after that last rape, and we're already getting a tentacle rape. And it's like, it's 100% tentacle rape. There's no ifs, ands, or buts here, mister.
Every hole must be plugged.
Oh yeah, and we get a full-on internal shot of it going back and forth.
Yep.
It goes hard, motherfucker.
Sorry, 80s women.
Our girl is having a real rough night here.
Oh, man. She tells him to go, and then she sacrifices herself by bringing down like a lightning bolt, lightning strike, and then breaking the time loop or time tunnel. And then protagonist, Taki looks super intense for a second. He's like, and then he yells like, ah!
And Makie like pierces one of her breasts to make some kind of neon blue fountain rain that falls everywhere.
Lightning comes down or some bullshit.
Something. And then he just leaves her.
Yep.
And then lightning strikes her.
Yes.
And we're only halfway through the movie because...
Not even... I mean, I guess it is halfway at that point. Yeah. So they go to the... They make it to the psychic hospital. And then Maillart gets put into a Bacta tank, basically.
I gotta change parking spots real quick. I'm out in the open here.
Have you seen Star Wars?
Star Wars?
The doctor asserts that they have strong enough barriers to keep the baddies out.
Oh, yeah.
But then their barriers literally the next second fall. A dude runs in and is like, oh, God, they got through the barriers.
Oh, yeah, no, immediately. He's just like, oh, yeah, you're not going to have that breaking through the barriers problem over here. And then someone runs up to him and is like, sir, they broke through the barriers.
Yes.
It's like almost comedic. I guess they haven't totally broken through, but something's been compromised, definitely.
Then I'm not quite sure what happens in the interim, but then we go to Taki gets there's a portal to another dimension that opens up, and everyone gets a good view of Makie getting molested by demons.
Oh yeah, no, now she's getting gangbanged by a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, and he's just it's huge, and he's forced
it's
to look
a
at
huge
it.
Screen and everyone's watching. Oh yeah, this is my favorite clip, maybe ever.
Then I will deal with her. Such terrible humiliation. Come to us. Perhaps you could save her.
All right, I'll come.
it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
So Taki decides he's going to go save her.
In an obvious trap. Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'm going.
And then Maillart says, he asks him if he's lost his marbles, which is just such a fucking stupid thing to put in a movie. Don't. Why would you do that?
That's what Master Roshi would say. Have you lost your marbles?
And then he makes a really solid point about why Taki shouldn't go. He gives him the straight dope and is like, hey, you're doing the dumbest thing you could possibly do and you're not doing your job. You're a fucking idiot. She's just a black worlder.
She's just a black, damn it.
So Taki goes to an abandoned warehouse, I guess. There's like a building that's being destroyed or some bullshit. And he finds Makie getting railed by just a whole bunch of dudes.
Just a whole bunch of them.
Rape counts at three.
Definitely. So, I mean, if it's like four dudes, is that one rape or is it?
I think it's actually exponential.
Oh my God, she's at like 1,000.
Yeah,
it's a rough day.
The big bad shows up.
And also, how long do you think it took him to drive there? She's been getting fucked that whole time.
Oh my,
explicitly.
Because you see her getting molested when they're at the facility, but oh yeah, that's bad. Her guts are all worn out.
She's full to the brim.
Taki talks to the big bad, and then the big bad, his lady friend that he's got with him, gets her shit out, and then she grows a gigantic vagina in her torso.
Oh, she becomes a vagina basically.
Yes, and she like
she
puts
also looks
Taki
like a man
into some
by the
sort
way.
Of. She puts Taki into some sort of trance, and then he walks into her stomach pussy, at which point he pulls out his gun in a really slick, cool sequence and then glacks the shit out of her.
It's like a vagina then, made out of intestine that's made out of intestines that's always coming sparkly goop.
That was the 80s.
That's, yep. Cocaine will do that. But he shoots the naked lady, and then he shoots and punches a bunch of the rape guys.
Yes.
And then the suit guy, who I guess is now the main baddie, turns into like a rock. And then he gets, our guy gets grabbed by a flesh wall, but he gets saved by that lightning again, which I guess is Maki's, I don't know.
I guess, but so we forgot to mention, Big Bad has spiky elbows. I call him pointy elbows in all my notes because he doesn't really have a name.
You know, for some reason that didn't even faze me, but now that I think about that, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck was up with those elbows?
Cool. It's not cool. It's not a cool place for spikes to come from is your elbow. Like,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Imagine Wolverine would not be nearly as popular if he had spiky elbows.
It's like, yeah, I can't touch anything with my... You can't even lick your own elbow. That's...
No. Yeah, and it's just impractical. Makiya explains that she used to fuck Pointy Elbow Man.
Right.
This is after Chalky shoots Big Bad in the mouth.
He gets him in the mouth.
Pointy elbows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seemingly kills him, which is an amazing shot, by the way, because the mouth was the only thing that was exposed to the elements from outside his rock shell that he's got going on.
Literally, yep. One weak spot.
Apparently, it, like Pointy Elbow Man starts to like solidify and like bubble and boil and shit, so it looks like he's still got some life left in him. And then they leave. They just leave without checking to make sure he's really, really dead.
Makiya grabs an extremely inconvenient dress because she's in the nude.
Yes, and then Taki goes. He actually makes the duh, like duh sound because she's sexy. Then they both get fired because they didn't do their jobs.
You're off the case.
And then his boss says, "I'm very disappointed in you. You're too much of a romantic to be a blackguard."
Yep. Even though dude is safe, but yeah, I don't know.
This guy was still a threat. They're just going and preemptively taking him down, I guess. But, so then the bug lady from the beginning shows up to help Pointy Elbows, and then tells her that she has to be the one to stop the peace treaty. And then Taki and Makiya drive into the city, with some wonderful, like, 80s Japanese pop music that's ripe for vapor waving.
Oh yeah, that cheesy English song. I'm just gonna play that under so that everyone can hear it. I'm just gonna play it under us right now, starting right now.
Declan.
Ooh, that's good.
Drive my disembodied voice through the city.
Oh yeah.
Nice. So Maiar appears in the backseat, really killing the mood, and he's like, I was sent here to protect you. What are you? Oh wait, shit. Was that later?
That's way later. What are you? Spoilers.
Reel it back in. He's like, wait, let's go to a whorehouse because I'm still a goofy old man. So then they drive through a tunnel, and then they slowly get wrapped in spider webs.
Spoilers.
And Bug Lady appears, and then Taki punches that bitch right in the fucking mush, man. Right in the gut.
Gets her good. Spider Lady really, really fucks our dude up real bad. But then they get saved by the lightning again. And I'm just, at this point, I'm just like, okay, enough with the fucking lightning. Like, are you going to do that every time?
So it seems the Bug Lady cocoons them, you know, and like slices away at them. It seems like they're dead or something. And then they wake up.
Oh, but you forgot the part where Spider Lady is flailing on the ground, much like a real spider on her back. And it lasts like 15 seconds. She's just going, oh, no, no, no. It's fucking, I didn't really understand. It was really surreal. I don't get it.
A lot of this movie's surreal. Like the next part where Taki and Makiya float through a dream world.
Yeah, so now they're both injured again. Like, how many fucking times are they both going to get raped / hurt in this one film? It just keeps happening.
They get a moment of solitude where they fuck an ethereal mattress.
Very dreamlike lovemaking sequence. Like,
and he's like, "Is this a dream?" And she's like, "If this is a dream, I never want to wake up." And then they're in a church.
Yep.
And then, like, birds start falling to the ground outside the church, which I don't understand how that really relates to what's going
on. Something bad's nearby, yeah. And she makes note of how she can cry, and that doesn't make any sense because they're not supposed to be able to cry. Mm-hmm. And that's when I called, she's a halfie. But I was sort of right. I was close.
Maillart sidles into the church with his hands in his pockets, and then a muscle snake explodes out of a statue of Mary.
Cool.
Then he's like, I'm going to stay behind to take on this muscle snake. And then he explains that he was in charge of protecting Taki and Makie.
Yes, he was the protector.
Yes, because they're going to fulfill a greater purpose, which is they can together have children, because scientists just figured out that they can for some reason.
Because their genes are compatible. Yeah,
yes.
It's like most donkeys and horses can't have kids, but some of them can. Mm-hmm. I think
that's why you got to fuck them all to find out.
Like a horse and a mule, or I don't know. Or like it's like a tiger and a lion, whatever. Yeah, because I was wondering throughout this whole movie, like, why the fuck do they need this geezer to sign a peace? Like, what? There's literally no. They just say like,
well, he signed the last one last time. Yeah.
Like, does he have some unique perspective
on diplomat.
Peace? That,
super, super good diplomat.
he seems like it. He's just fucking grabbing everyone in the.
Look at the president of the United States, dude. You got to grab him by the pussy, man.
Oh.
That's how you get diplomacy done.
Hey, this movie was 30 years early. It knows.
So, Maillart jumps up onto the roof of the church, and then he has a battle with pointy elbows. And then he seemingly buys it when Maillart, the pointy elbow guy, sucks him into like a shadow dimension. And gores him with a bunch of flesh snakes.
Yeah.
And then Taki jumps up onto the roof, and then he also gets sucked into pointy shadow world. And then Maillart escapes from the shadow world, and kills Pointy. But then Pointy comes back again because he just can't stay dead, man.
But he stabs him with a cross though, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then Makie shows up on top of the steeple in a also very cool fashion, and the music's great.
She strikes a pose, man. She strikes a pose for like 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of showmanship, and the music is super great. It's I can't even describe it. And then someone says that she's been transmogrified.
What Maillart says.
Okay.
Which says, and then he explains that she's pregnant.
I guess that's what that means.
Apparently she can kill transmogrified
if you want, I guess.
She kills Pointy, and then everything's cool. And then Maillart explains that Makie is knocked up, and he's like, hey, to make this legitimate, you need to love her. And Taki's like, sorry, old man, I don't love her. Wait, never mind, I guess I do.
Well, no, he says, it's some sort of like really, really weird, like Gordon Ramsay-style fake-out where he's just like, I'm sorry, Makie. I just don't know how to say it. And it's like, oh.
Okay, that's what that was.
Okay. Okay.
then they walk out into the white light and explain that they go to the ceremony, and then Taki gets his job back because the world's got to be safe until their child's born.
Yep. But
meantime, until he's old enough to
he's still a cop.
Hell yeah. And that truly is one wicked city.
And it ends on a freeze frame of him shooting the gun. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, Wicked City.
I liked this movie.
I liked it a lot.
I thought this shit was going to suck. I thought it was supposed to suck. I thought that there was something wrong with me when I was watching
because
it.
Because all these movies that have like a legacy of being like, it's so fucking gory and fucking there's tits all over the place. It's usually they're pretty bad.
Yeah, and I
but
mean
this
you know
one was
it's not
really
like,
entertaining the whole time.
Yeah, like it's not like
high art.
Yeah, it's just I thought it was going to be the kind of 80s anime bad where it's just fucking boring and incomprehensible. But it's fun. And really
yeah,
fucking stupid.
So much shit happens in this movie.
Oh yeah.
And it's, you know, it looks pretty good. There's lots of violence, and that's well done. It's not like just super gory over the top. I mean, there's definitely like body horror elements to it.
Oh yeah.
But it's weird to say, but it's tasteful. Tasteful body horror.
Sure.
Because it's people turning into monsters and shit. It looks great. It's well directed. It's got style. It's goofy. I like the dub. It's got like that nice kitsch value to it.
Yeah.
Entertaining movie. It gets a like groany at parts where they keep doing the same thing over and over again. Like, pointy elbows can't die. You know what I mean? But, yeah.
The regeneration thing. There's a guy in a tracksuit going into the movies all by himself.
Is he a midget?
No, he looks like, yeah, like 5'10". I don't know.
We forgot to mention that Myart wears a tracksuit.
Yep. Yeah, no, he does. He's a very little short man in a tracksuit. Greenish man.
Do you have any other thoughts on this movie?
I mean, I kind of liked...
I expect this more people to know about this. Because I had never really heard of it until I went looking up things of this ilk.
Yeah, I looked it up a little bit, and like people do talk about it a little bit. It certainly gets mentioned more than the other Wicked City, My Darling, which is profoundly unfair. But yeah, you'll hear mention of it, and not quite as much as Oedo. Yeah, not super well known. It's probably the kind of thing people just share gifts of. And they're just like, oh, what's this? It's from this super obscure fucking film from 30 years ago.
Oedo is a technically better... Because it's, I mean, that's just also really great storytelling.
I mean, I would rather watch this than the third episode of Oedo. Mm-hmm. So it's like, right up there.
I don't have the vitriol that you have towards that third episode.
Maybe it was just because I was already like an hour and a half in or however long we were.
And it was also, you know, we've been dealing with hyper action the entire time. And then we get to like kind of a cerebral third, you know what I mean? Not cerebral,
well,
but you know, it's
talking.
Slower.
Got to use your brain to talk.
This is definitely... This definitely has value, and I would say that the people should watch it.
It's
frankly,
a good watch,
unless you're easily like you're turned off by like brutal rape and horrible murder.
There is so much rape. There's so much of so much, not even just like and like yeah. I applaud them for working the rape into the plot, but so much of the story of this movie revolves around this woman being raped repeatedly.
Yeah, so and not a good first date movie.
Depends on what you're into.
Yeah. Caution advised.
Oh, yeah,
Do not watch with your family.
Parental advisory.
This is a red band movie for sure.
There's tons of boob and non-consent. Yeah. I even kind of liked the twist. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I didn't think of that. Sure. It's a nice little bow on it.
They were like compatible or something.
Well, yeah, that they were not actually the protectors, and it was all a ruse, which doesn't really make sense when you think about it for 5 seconds. Because
it's kind of how I felt.
Roshi told him not to rescue her, and he was really adamant about it. But supposedly he knew the whole time that he was going to go, and then they were going to fall in love, and then they were going to bang and have this hybrid baby. Like that's
well, maybe he had to foster like some sort of like. You gotta really prove how much you love her. You know what I mean?
Seems risky.
Like, would you abandon your mission for this woman?
Like it almost seems safer to just like ask for the dude's sperms because it's like you know. I get
well,
all right.
They
need to
the pact,
they need to love each other.
The pact. No, it makes sense. Yeah. No. You know what? This movie's art. This is genius.
I mean,
no loose ends here.
I still don't know why they need a hybrid baby for a peace treaty. I guess it's some kind of symbolic thing, some kind of PR move.
They're gonna build the new world. The treaty's gonna build a new world around this child.
Oh God! So are they committing to an all mixed race society? Are they gonna eliminate the pure breeds?
I believe that was the implication. Yes.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
this got serious.
Yeah,
I don't.
This was no. That's why they needed that old man there.
That's
You changed your mind about this movie, bro?
No. I just gotta. I gotta do some thinking now.
You're not PC.
I only talk to halfies.
Yeah. So we're personally. We're down with the half-race utopia that they're trying to create.
I mean, like, in this case, I mean, like, you know, if it's like they're humans, but also they have powers, that sounds pretty rad.
As long as I'm down with half-races as long as the end game is X-Men.
Yeah. No, that's, you can, yeah. you can be a race traitor if you get psychic powers out of it. That's the only stipulation that I'm going to allow.
Yeah.
My utopia. What year? Okay, this is 87. What was Oedo? Is that 84?
88. I think it was 88, dude. Yeah, I think it was later.
Yeah? Okay.
Maybe 80. It was 88, 89. You know how I'm always off by 1 year, but it's probably 88.
Because I'm like, I feel like this Wait. Even looks better than 08. It just looks so good.
Oh, I think it has a lot more style than 08 in some ways.
Yeah, it just seems cleaner in some way. I don't know.
It's
shit. 08 was 90. Huh.
90. I'm always off by one. So the thing about this movie is that, like, during the action scenes, they'll kind of take liberties with reality and go to, like, extreme close-ups and destroy backgrounds and stuff just for, you know, conveying action. And but Oedo plays it pretty straight in that regard. But yeah, so turns out this guy's a genius. Because goddamn,
we gotta watch Ninja Scroll.
We do. We should probably watch the one that people know.
Yeah.
That's not good podcast content, though.
I mean, Birdie the Mighty is like 24 episodes, so we're really only stuck with Ninja Scroll.
I could do Birdie the Mighty.
Oh, boy. Well.
Look forward to that next year.
Fuck, yeah.
We've got an 8-episode thing that I'm like halfway through right now, and that's...
8? Wait a second. I think...
Is it not 8?
You have the wrong idea.
Oh, it's 13?
That's 13, my bro.
Oh, fuck.
Well, you know, we can do it the week after next or...
It's cool. It's cool. I'll get it done. It'll happen.
I haven't even started, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's cool.
All right. Well, yeah. 318 Weebs 22.
318 Weebs 22. 3 Weebs at Gmail.
At 3 Weebos on Twitter.
THREEAWEEBOS. I think.
There you go.
I think. Sure. Just tweet us pictures of. You ripping a big fat bong.
No. Tweet us pictures of beautiful cyberpunk landscapes with cars.
Tweet us all your synth pop. I need to see all the loops.
If you send me synth pop, I will listen to it.
We have no choice.
I promise.
If you send us 3 hours of synth pop, you've just ruined a person's day. You can revel in that. You've just done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Another one in the bag.
That's it. Please don't rape people. Please don't murder people.
Can you rape them if they're not human?
Ooh.
That's a gray area. Is it a whale?
Oh, yeah. You can rape a whale.
You can plow some blowholes.
If you can manage two at once, I encourage it.
You gotta finger the blow... I mean, you gotta have really long arms to do this, but if you finger the blowhole while pleasuring...
I mean, let's be honest here. You're gonna have to use the whole arm for that.
You gotta have a lot of arms.
Yeah, be an octopus if you're gonna fuck a whale. Is really. Why have we done 2 whale fucking bits in like a month? We gotta stop.
Okay, it's time for me to come out.
Uh oh.
I'm a blubber lover.
Stop it.
Nailed it.